With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, so now we're going to move on. We're going to talk about some of the top teams in the West, some of the top teams in the East. I'm going to ask you, are they for real or are they fugazi? Like, if we do the diamond tester on it, is it a cubic or is this... Or are they really for real?
Is it like Puff Daddy's jewelry or one of the local rappers?
No blemish. We can really take the thing in and look at it. So let's start with the Nuggets. Nuggets are 32-13 as of this taping. First in the West, won 8 straight games. Offense is absolutely booming under the guidance and leadership of two-time MVP Nikola Jokic. So are the Nuggets for real or are they fugazi?
I think it was for real once Murray came back. Okay. I thought, you know, we seen what Luka and Murray look like, was it 3 years ago? With off and on Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Now everyone's kind of like older, healthier. You know, Michael Porter's still going in and out, but, you know, healthier type of players. Once he came back, it was like, all right, they're going to be different. They should be top two.
Yeah.
And you can see that they're playing well, and the fact that Jokic is averaging a triple-double. He's 9.9 on assists.
We round up.
So, you know, you have a guy who's actually averaging a triple-double, and nobody's actually talking about it. Like, I think Westbrook has made that thing look so easy that the fact that Luka's doing it, everybody's like, meh, yeah.
We've talked about it. That was always my issue with how people approach Westbrook thing. It's like, okay, you want to talk about points, assists, rebounds, like, that. Those, like, getting 10, 10, and 10, no matter, it's pace, it's this, it's that. Like, go play an actual hoop game. During a hoop game, we're not thinking, ooh, it's pace. And it's like, I gotta go grab this rebound.
The hardest one of the group is gonna always be assist because you need someone else for that.
Yeah.
You can score by yourself. I can go get rebounds. I can actually consciously go get rebounds. But if I sit there and pass it, you know, to try to get 10 assists, that is actually the hardest stat because you're relying on someone else to make that shot.
Damn, he passed it to his teammates trying to get him to score.
He's stat chasing assists.
Man, he making good passes, dog. Like, he can't.
But think about it. So if you shoot too much, you're ball hogging. If you're trying to get assists, you're stat chasing. If you try to get wins, what is that called?
Ring chasing is with the title that LeBron got. And it's like, I never understood. That was the one that was most disturbing for me. Like, look at this trying to win. He's trying to win a ring, dog. He's ring chasing. Like, what?
Like, yeah, but that's something. Like, it's when you're trying to do something, they always throw a stat. Like, if I'm trying to purposely win every single game, what is that called? Like, is that bad or good? Like, what am I?
It depends. It depends on where your hairline is.
Like, what's so funny? Some, you know, like, there's high school coaches out there. High school coaches out there getting fired for beating teams too bad.
No.
Think about what I'm saying. There's teams like the score is 162 versus 26, and they're firing. Not the who team scored 26. No, they're firing a guy who can get his team to score 162. I don't even know how you go into the office and say, hey, yeah, you know, good win yesterday, but you won by like 142 points too much.
Yeah.
You know, you embarrass the other coach. Like, and this coach who scored 26 just keeps his job. Like, hey, good, you know.
They got to write a letter explaining. It's like, we practice harder and we have better
players. We practice shooting. We go out there and try to win games. I don't know.
So let's talk about Joker. And I don't want to say reluctant to get on the Joker train. I've always just roll with Giannis more, but that's pandering for Bucks tickets, Gil, which You'll do Milwaukee at some point.
Facts.
You know, the BMO is baller. They got a nice little setup, and they got, you know, nice eateries and beverages and all that good stuff. But Joker, the knock on him, the criticism last year, was like, oh, he don't deserve MVP because the Nuggets aren't a contender. They were like 6 in the West, I believe. Now Joker putting up similar numbers on the number one team in the West. Do you think that he can three-peat, or is it going to be another case of voter fatigue? Are we hitting him with it?
Three-peat. I don't see how you reward him for being better.
Yeah.
He's being better, and the team is being better. So I don't see how you do not reward him, because if you reward someone else, it really just messes up the whole idea of what MVPs are.
Yeah.
Because you already rewarded him for being great and his team is bad. Now he's playing better and his team is better. And so it's like 1-1 yeah. versus 1-6. So I'm
looking at 30-point triple doubles. You know, some have made the claim that he might be the best offensive center in NBA history. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far.
Over Wilt? Did they forget?
I'm not ready to go that far. That's what I'm saying.
Did they forget? Shaq.
Wilt was high jumping, volleyballing, and hooping, and getting cheeks on the side. Okay,
when you say offense, you mean all around offense.
All around offense.
I mean, Shaq is dominant. You know,
Shaq will get his 35, but he's not diamond.
Yeah, he's not diamond.
He's not.
but he's never going to beat Wilt's numbers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Wilt averaged a triple-double. Wait, didn't Wilt average a quadruple-double? No.
We got a fact check.
No, I know he had a quadruple. I think he had a 5-on-2, right? I know in a game he had a...
What is that even called? What?
A quintuple double.
We gotta normalize those. But no, I think from an all-around standpoint,
we gotta normalize those.
Guys gotta start going for it, and they're still gonna be like, oh, look at him stat chasing
over here, just blocking everything.
He just blocking shots to get.
He don't want nobody to score.
But when you look at what Joker's done, probably one of the best passing big men of all time, if not all, you know, ever.
Yeah.
And I think collectively with the points, with the ability to assist, and just everything he brings on that side, defensively. It's a different story, but everybody talks about defense wins championships, but I've never seen a game in basketball one when the score was 0-0.
No, facts.
So you got to get buckets. You got to move that thing around. So I'm ready to ride the Joker train.
Remember, defense wins championships in a certain era.
Yeah. But even in that era, you needed to get a bucket.
Yeah, you still need to get a bucket. But in that era, you know, it's defense wins championship. Then eventually, because before that, it was scoring. Whoever's going to score the most. Because you got to remember, there's even though this is fast paced, there's an era where they were scoring, they were averaging 118 points a game, teams. Yeah. They're not doing that now.
I'm thinking about like Elgin Baylor back in the day. Yeah, you look at his numbers, they were absurd, but you watch those games, even with like the janky footage.
Without threes.
And they still look fast paced. Yeah. Like you put them at normal speed, like damn, these dudes was really going.
Like I was watching the Bulls play, was it the Suns in the championship? I think it was game 6. Jordan's like their first quarter. They had like 36. I mean, it was just one of those things where as soon as the ball, they just flew down. I was like, wait, what year is this? And then, you know, some magical happened in the fourth quarter where they only had 9 points and Jordan had 7 of them. Just weird. Just the weirdest. Now, and the weirdest thing about it all was time. Time, this is like time went off the clock.
Look, it's entertainment.
Listen, there's conspiracies of things out there, right? Everybody go watch game 6 and just find out what happened. Like, it's not like shots wasn't even going up. Like, it's not like they were shooting and missing. Jordan was still, like, 3-for-5 or 4-for. Like, the shot, like, it's like Jordan had every point besides the 3 at the end. So I think they had 12 or 9 points. But it wasn't like Jordan was off. It's just like they just didn't shoot. It's like they ran. It's like there was no shot clock and they ran the whole old UCLA cuts. That's what it just seemed like. I'm just sitting there like, wait, what the? What's going on here? Like this ain't real. And there's just time. How did the time go up the clock? They only got this many shots up. It's the fucking weirdest quarter I've ever seen in basketball.
All right, but let's keep it moving with the For Real or Fugazi. We're going to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. Second in the West right now, they're 31-13. They've won 11 straight games as of this taping. As of this taping means if they lose a game by the time this airs.
We don't want to hear your shit.
We was right now. We was right when we taped this shit. We got to edit it, guys. We got to do things. But 11-game win streak. I want to say their defense is first in the league defensive rating. Offense, I want to say, is top three as well. So, you know, defense helps win championships, but eventually I'm going to need some buckets gotten. You got Ja Morant playing at an insane level. You got Jaren Jackson Jr. looking like the defensive player of the year right now. And the Grizzlies talk a lot of shit, so I have to rock with them as a squad because they're their young dude who's talking shit to the old man and bigging them up. Like, it really hurt me when they got LeBron and it was literally like 4-on-1 and just and there's nothing he could do but take an L. But are the Grizzlies for real or Fugazi?
I think it for real. Like, to be honest, we've seen the toughness. We've seen, you know, how they played last year. And they really gave, you know, Golden State a run for their money, you know, in that round. So, you know, just watching, you know, like how they played. You know, they put, you know, Timberwolves. You know, they went toe-to-toe with the Timberwolves. You know, no, I don't even know if anyone had them coming out of that first round. But the fact that they did, the fact that, you know, they were given, you know, Golden State a run for their money. That defeat, that pain that they felt, that you knew they were coming back, you know, this year, you know, with some serious, you know, those young guys are really playing well. They're playing well together because they all know their roles.
So when you look at Ja Morant, what tier do you put him on? Has he now crossed into that superstar range, or what does he need to do to get to that level? Is he a star?
No, he's a stud.
But what, like, is super stud a superstar?
No, he's a superstar.
Okay.
Superstar is just you. It's charisma, it's vibe, it's, you know, it's putting up the numbers, and it's like that it factor, you know, ticket seller, you know, how does the ladies look at him? Like, okay, like, you know, it's all the factors of just everything that person comes. Like, when you talk about mega superstars, I don't think we've ever seen an ugly one, right? We never seen an ugly superstar. No,
but the thing, when you're ugly, when you're an ugly superstar,
you become just a regular star.
But they make you good looking, though.
No, you become a star. If you're not attractive to women, you are just a regular star. You are a star. Like, just so we know the difference. You can average 30, 15, and 20. If you don't look good, you are a star player.
I don't want to say no names to catch no strays.
But, no, you don't need to catch. You don't need to say no names because it doesn't exist. It's like, you know, when you talk about Brady, like, it's the Aaron Rodgers. Trust me, when it's a superstar, trust me, the looks is gonna match.
The ugly quarterback.
The ladies
with your
is gonna match. The Beckhams. It's gonna match.
But the ugly quarterback.
Crosbys. They're gonna match. Like, trust me, it's an element. They want people they can put on billboards, and no one be like, oh shit, look.
So the ugly dude is always, no matter how good the numbers, like, dog,
he's a star.
You're ugly, you're going to be a star.
You're going to be a star.
I'm glad we got that sorted out.
The women ratings dictate what you are.
So let's talk about the Sixers. Tied for second in the East right now, 29-16. That Harden and Embiid duo, that's a duo you didn't mention earlier in the show that belongs in that list. And it's been interesting for me to see Harden, who can go get 30 a night if he felt like it. He's now in that 21 a game range, really letting Embiid cook. But they're tied for second in the East right now. Are the Sixers for real, or are they?
Yeah, they're for real. First round loser.
Yeah, they're for real. First
round. What?
Damn.
What? I mean, they've been number one and number two every year. They just first round loss. Like, it's just. Who's the coach over there? Okay, let's go. First round out. Let's go.
Doc Rivers.
First round out. Let's go. Let's chop it up. Yeah,
with the lineup though, pristine.
First round out.
Still pristine lineup though.
Listen, a team like that, it's easy to win games during regular season. Where they fall is playoffs because they're not disciplined people. They're not disciplined players, right? You know, I'm a Harden fan. Is he going to step up to the challenge defensively? Like, when you're talking about playoff games against like teams like Miami and, you know, Bucks and Boston, right? You're talking about teams that you cannot turn the ball over at half court and then they steal it, and then you just look at the ref, and then they're giving a two easy points, because that's not gonna happen. They're not gonna give you two easy points. They're gonna hunt you down, and they're gonna try to make that stop. So you know, Harden usually gives up 6 points just on that. You can't do that in the playoffs. So is he gonna stop that? Is Embiid gonna fatigue in the fourth quarter like he does every year for the last 4 or 5 years? You know, so you know, it those are the two things that's gonna always hunt them. Like, you know, Embiid being fatigued in the fourth quarter, only playing 32 minutes. So I don't know why you're tired. And Harden not putting in that extra energy for those 50-50 balls.
So Sixers are Fugazi.
I don't. If they get to the second round, I'm surprised. I'm like, okay, I didn't expect that.
But I hope Embiid. If you watch this episode, have the meme ready for when it happens. Dudes watch and they be in their feelings emotional.
But why are
you talking about me like that?
But I'm
like,
telling the truth. Like, you know, if Embiid doesn't fatigue in the fourth quarter, you know, if James Harden works on them 50-50 balls, when he turns the ball over, makes a bat, you know, takes one of those, you know, heat check shots that they're stopping that easy. You're giving up easy points when you turn the ball over and just.
So you're saying, okay, they're Fugazi right now, but if they get a PPP loan, I don't know if those are still even rocking, they could be for real.
They can be for real.
Okay. I'll rock with that.
They can be for real.
So.
They need one of those big PPP loans, though.
We're going.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Last week, Rachel Nichols posted a photo in the locker room with James Harden, and his toes went viral. So I want to see if we do a toe check. You got to show the people what them toes look like.
Wait, no, man. Even though mine are good, but no.
Honestly, if you don't want to show,
I didn't get a petty. I ain't get a petty. They're still better than what, like, I ain't got no dark toenails.
Because I think about my dad, and I remember as a kid, like, just black-ass toenails, like, this thick, and I never understood, but it's like they were wearing the janky shoes back in those days.
Now, you know, it comes from, like, you got to remember what type of player. He's a stop-go. So what happens is they have, like too much room in the shoe. So what ends up happening is when you do stops, you're just gonna keep hitting your toe, which ends up dead in the nail, and then the nail falls off and stuff like that. So I had, you know, some, like, it was like my middle toe, that nail came off every year. Ugh. Every year that nail just fell off, and you know, my toes didn't get right until I just stopped playing.
So right, as you talk about feet, you know, Hooper especially injuries, like I broke my fingers years ago, it's still janky and crooked, but what's the nastiest thing that you've seen in a locker room?
In the locker room?
Like three nipples, like, I don't know.
Extra total earlobe. Total recall. it's probably usually just, you know, someone's feet.
And you're just like, put some socks on, dog.
But you gotta remember, everyone's toes is I mean, y'all sitting there, who compares the just ugly toes all around trying to figure out who compares?
I feel like as a hooper, I don't know if it's true for other sports, but the jankier, nastier your feet look, that means you were.
It's like you mean you really hooped hoops.
Yeah. Are you
really hooper? Oh, you got extra knuckles on top of knuckles? Oh, huge. You can jump. like my son's feet. I'm like, yo, bro, like, never take your socks off. Like he has like he has corns on top of corns. And it was like, oof. Like he went from a size like 11 to a 14 within like a month.
Wow.
So when he was like 11, you know, he had the 11s and I like got 11 and a half. It was like 12. So him just bumping and just like, like, bro, I feel sorry for your feet, bro.
So Stan Van Gundy.
Okay. Stan Van Gundy.
He dropped a tweet. He's still around.
Okay.
He dropped a tweet. According to KD, Stan was spitting.
Spitting facts?
Yes, but Stan didn't know what that meant. So KD had to. He's older than I appreciate Stan's transparency, but I'm going to read the tweet for you, and then I want to get your opinion on it. 90s NBA teams had just a trainer and a strength coach. Mm-hmm. They practiced more often and harder and played more back-to-backs. Teams now have huge medical and performance staffs and value rest over practice, yet injuries and games missed are way up. Something's not working.
Facts.
So you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're a basketball savant. What can be done to address the issue?
So what's going on is this. You had all these outside influence of saying that these players are being injured because of playing too much,
yeah.
Right? Which what ends up happening is this. Too much rest, right? Too much rest, resting your body. What ends up happening is pretend you're 40. You're my age, right?
We're the same age as you.
We go, what happens if we go out there and try to play full court?
I haven't done it about.
Right, we're gonna rip an Achilles, we're gonna hamstring, something's gonna fuck up. That's what's happening. Their bodies are not conditioned to do the things that they're doing anymore. See, they're thinking that the players need more rest. What happening is these players' bodies are not tuned up. Why you think LeBron doesn't get hurt? Why you think LeBron can do what LeBron's doing and never is worried about these little knick-knack injuries? Because LeBron takes care of his body. LeBron is training his body. That's what's going on with these players. They're not going through. You got to remember, J.J. Redick said it on Knuckleheads that his summer workout was so brutal that he didn't want to go through it 1 year, so he just retired. Like, that out. Like, people don't realize, understand, like, he could have just halfway did it and been ready for the season and been okay, but he didn't want to cheat himself. So think about what he's saying, that I conditioned my body so well that the season was so easy. These guys are not conditioning their bodies. Like, I used to run 5 miles. I used to run before the training camp came. I used to run the bleachers every single day that month, like the top, just to get ready for training camp, just so I could be the best in training camp. And training camp is supposed to just get us ready, get us in shape for the season. I wanted to be in shape for training camp. So I didn't have knick-knack injuries, right? So what's happening is these guys' bodies are just not prepared to do the things that they're doing out there. That's all it is. So when you're going out there and you're pulling your hamstring, it's no different than a track person who wasn't running. Now you're saying try to run a 10-6. Your muscles are not ready to do that.
So, but what's, I mean, look, you obviously suffer injuries later in your career, and we see that with pretty much everybody. LeBron's been really the only anomaly, knock on wood, where bodies start to break down. You look at somebody like Kobe. Kobe was doing 4 to 5 workouts a day. Eventually, you know, his body broke down, you know, with the Achilles.
Body broke down, yeah, with the Achilles and some of the knickknacks, but you still got to understand that, okay, where's the knickknacks with Westbrook? Like, where's the knickknacks with someone like John Morant? These guys are high flyers, pushing. They played through AAU.
But John's missed some time, though.
Luka,
I think.
But what I'm saying is,
he's
like,
just an anomaly too, but he's built like a straight tight end hybrid.
But like, I'm not talking about injuries like, okay, you really twist your ankle or you really, you know, had, like, someone ran into you. You know what I mean? But when you're talking about little knickknacks like hamstring, groins, it's just you're not doing the things that, you know, you need to be doing to keep your body as a tool. You got to remember, some basketball players just want to hoop. The taking care of my body, going to yoga and doing shit like that, like Joe Johnson, They don't want to do that. I want to play basketball. I ain't all that stretching this shit. I ain't trying to be a professional at stretching. You know what I mean? I was one of those, I ain't trying to be no professional stretcher and shit. I want to be a professional basketball player. So you have athletes like that. So, you know, when they're getting hurt, you got to really look under the hood. It's like, what are you doing to take care of your body?
For sure. I think.
How are you eating at night? You know, are you at the club, you know, down in tequila? And then going to, you know, and then wonder why, you know, why you're having hamstring problems. You know, there's always something besides.
Which is wild because we look at a guy like AI, and that's what he had to do to get right. But everybody's different. They deal with different things. But I think even, you know, we're both around the same age. Like, yoga was just becoming a thing when we were in college. But a lot of guys weren't. They say, stretching, like, whatever. I'm here to get a bucket. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. It's really mind-boggling if you say, wait, you guys have more, but you're getting hurt more. They had less and they played more. Like, people don't realize Jordan at, was it 40, played all 82 games.
No. But I think.
So it's like, you're not gonna convince me that there's something wrong then. Like, you guys have more, so you guys should be able to last better.
And I can't even explain it, but I feel like even now we have more technology, so you think you'd have smarter people. But people are dumb as shit nowadays, so it's not like...
Common sense is not common sense, you know.
But it's not like even having access to all those things. But it is an interesting thing to look at. But especially back in the 90s when dudes, it was like ice and stem. You were getting basic shit, rub some...
But you remember, we went into an arena, and I'm looking at those arenas like, yo, if I was here, I would never leave this building.
Yeah.
Right, and we're talking about, what, 11 o'clock? There was nobody still in there. Well, maybe one person worked out for 30 minutes, right? And that's like, wait, how is this functioning? Like, where's the, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we don't really have team practice like that. It's more like one-on-one individual stuff. Like, wait, what?
I see it now, even at the younger levels, where it's like, if they're not forced to be at practice, they're not putting that work in. Like, shit, we live a couple blocks away from each other. You still see me now getting the run on.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for my knees to go out. And that's kind of like, I'm just waiting for that moment when God tells me, all right, it's enough. If you can't get it anymore. But kids, like, you know, it's an off day. They really think it's an off day. Like, oh, I don't have to do shit today. Like, no, you still got to go in, get your training in, do your stretching, do all your ice to prepare you for that next practice or game day. Or you're just setting your body up now to be in a position where it's going to break down.
I just think, you know, I think the expectation of greatness is they think it's easily obtained, right? They think that, you know, if I can work out for a week, I should be able to do the same thing that these guys are doing. You know, not realizing, you know, to get to that level of consistency, you have to put in your time, right? Like I don't care besides, like, you know, like your top tier shooters, you know, Steph, KD, them, for the most part, you give me 100 shots to warm up, you're not gonna beat me. I put so many shots into life that you're not even close to it. All I do is just gotta warm this shit back up. I crank this shit back up, and it should be, we should be on the way. And I be trying to tell younger kids that too. Like, listen, I don't, like, if we did 100 contests, right? And you win two. To you, you will be celebrating, not realizing a broken clock is right twice a day. Yeah. So two is not, that's how, you're decades off if you're winning just two.
But see, we also, and this brings me to the last point of the show, we also live in this highlight-driven world, right, where if we shoot 100 times and I beat you two, all I'm going to say is I beat Gil twice. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention the other 98 times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there was a video that dropped recently, claimed to be third graders. Courtside Films released the video. Shout out to them. But they're going crazy on the court, flexing in front of teammates, hitting them with the too small. They're already, they're like 8, 9 years old. They're all too small. Mm-hmm. But hitting other defenders with the too small. You around AAU basketball a lot. Austin Rivers has some interesting commentary on it. But if you go back and watch Austin Rivers highlight tapes back in the day, some similar things were going on. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think this is something to be concerned about or a problem with the AAU space? Because these kids are now looking at this older generation. They're looking at the Jaws and everybody hitting them with the two smalls and all that. And now doing this in games. We saw, and everybody talks about, when I say Steph ruined basketball, I don't say it in a bad way. But kids saw, to your point, oh, Steph shooting 40-footers. I'm going to go shoot a 40-footer. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you shoot 1,000 of those? every day, or are you just going to do it?
But that comes from coaching.
No.
You know, as a coach, you know Steph takes 1,000 shots. You know, he probably takes, you know, weekly, you know, maybe 4,000 or 5,000. Your little 8-year-old has taken 10 shots all week, and you think it's okay to allow him to shoot a 50-footer. Like, you should be fired. Like you shouldn't have a program if you're allowing that. I told my son, I said, his when he started like 10, 11, you can't shoot threes. You don't shoot threes until I see you working on them. If I don't see you outside taking 100, 200, 300, you're not allowed to shoot. And I'm not even his coach. I'm not even the
but you
coach.
Are, but you know how that
you
goes.
Can't shoot no three. You shoot mid-range. You shoot the shit that you've been practicing on. Don't tell me you're going to be shooting here and then in the game, you're going to sit there and chuck a three up and think that shit is going to go in. No, don't do that. That's not how basketball is played.
To the kids of league dads, they know that dad supersedes coach. Unless coach was, better than dad at any point in their career. But right away, coach calls a play. I'm looking at dad like, should I do? No.
Yeah, but this is more like, it's not, like, I remember, the pros are going to be the pros. The pros are doing what pros are doing. If you're a coach and you're coaching 12 to 16, 17-year-olds and you're allowing them to mimic pros,
no,
then something's wrong with you as the coach. To allow the behavior.
Yeah.
You know, because if you take it out of sports and try that shit, like, I got a firefighter running around saving, jumping through cars, saving kids. You think I'm gonna allow my 12-year-old to jump through a burning car? No, then don't do it on any other profession.
Yeah, do you practice that? Do you know how to use the
don't do it? On like, any, no. Don't do it on any other profession.
So you say, I mean, I can see both sides of it. My thing always, and I'm coaching now at the high school level, is like, look, you gotta stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Like them kids are doing everything they want to, if you're not going to stop it, like, because if I'm watching film on you, I'm going to do the same exact shit. Like, we're going to exploit your weaknesses. But at some point, you as young men got to take that shit personal and put a stop to it. So if I'm one of those kids on the other side that's seeing these two smalls or whatever, and this is the other thing I look at as I look at the youth basketball space, like, when I walk into gyms now, I got a 5-year-old, I'm just looking at parents right away. Mm-hmm. Parents like 5'8". Kid's great. Yeah. You're going to be a great 5-year-old.
Yeah.
He's killing in five.
But you can't. What's so funny is you can't tell a parent that.
They don't want to hear it.
Their parent, you know, you got a kid that's like, I look at the parents. I want to see, like, you got to remember, if you're 5'5", and your wife's 5'3", and your son is bawling his ass off because he can dribble and he's faster than everyone because he's not growing anymore. Okay, he's done, right? So his motor skills is already there. So he's gonna have more, his develop is already stopped in a sense. So yeah, of course. So, you know, eventually everyone's gonna get taller. He's still gonna be about 5'5", 5'4", and that's the end of his career. So yeah, right. You know, soccer's always good. You know what I mean?
I mean, I dealt with that shit in my own life. I think I was a 5'7" freshman in high school. I remember looking at myself, looking at these other kids, because you know the phenoms back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like, those kids, 6'3", 12-year-olds. Then he's 6'3", 16-year-old. Yeah. He's a 6'3", 20-year-old. And I'm like, shit, I'm 6'8 now. Yeah. Like, but I'm still looking at this kid the same way. Like, Dad, remember when I'm still looking up at him. He's down here.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things where when it comes to the youth, it's like you got to remember, I can't blame parents because they're fucking delusional. All parents from 7-year-olds to 9, they all think their kid's going to the NBA and going to save them and they're going to be rich. Like, they just have no concept of reality. So there ain't no point in talking to them, right? So it's more of the coaching that, what is he allowing? Like you know, you go to watch a Oakland Soldiers team, right? Like, they're... They're usually animated, but them kids is tough.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they miss a layup. That coach, like, if they miss a wide open layup, coach is making him do push-ups. He don't got to get back on. Do push-ups, because that's what that's about. So there's still some structure in it. Yeah. They might hit you with one of these, like, flexes. They're a little stronger than everybody else.
They're going to be respectful, though, I think, is with the thing. They're still talk their shit. Believe me, I'm all for talking shit in basketball games at any level, but doing it in a respectful manner where it's not... Like, I gamesmanship
think,
or one up.
I think, okay, so now for the dancing, we have to blame Ja Morant on this one. Like, because every kid is going to do the gritty, or every kid is going to do some type of celebration in mid-game, because that's what Ja Morant does.
It's crazy to me to see young white kids hitting it in rhythm. Better than a lot of black people I know.
They practice the dance more than they actually practice basketball.
But this is the beautiful part of the game. This is why it's a global game.
They're going to chuck one shot up, make it, and then they're going to go down. Yeah. The score is 2-0, and we're in the fourth quarter.
I'll leave it at this. That's the other thing that with this whole highlight culture, like you can put the highlight package together of any kid and make them. I can put my college highlight package together, and you'd be like, oh, this kid.
But
I can't see the score. No. I don't know. Your team was down 30 when you were doing this.
Austin Rivers was correct in what he was saying, but what he hasn't noticed is the highlight culture is actually helping weed out horrible basketball players. Because what ends up happening is you guys are making all these highlights pretending to be good, and then when you go against real players, they're embarrassing you to the point where you actually don't even want to play basketball anymore. So there's a lot of kids where you be like, wait, what happened to kid? Oh, yeah, he played against old boy, and old boy hit him for 50, and he don't want to play basketball. He quit. He done held back 62 times now. But that's what ended up happening. And yeah, you're putting these highlight tapes in because you want to be showcased, and then when you actually get to the big leagues, you're washed, and it puts you back. So look at all these highlight reels that everybody got. Now look at them. Where are they at now? Where they are in college? Where are they? Because of that reality tape doesn't help. It doesn't actually help you play basketball.
It's like mixtapes, though. It's like the Lil Wayne mixtape, which, you know, I'm a download off of Dat Piff versus mm-hmm. them dudes that be telling the mixtape to Venice Beach or whatever. Yeah. Like, bars need work. But you can always tell with the highlight, always based on how many games they need to make that highlight reel. Like, I look at your son, and they can go game by game because he's dropping 30 pieces. I can have a highlight reel for every game. Now I look at some other people, it's like, oh, it's like 36 games. They need
like 36 jerseys in this shit.
You got 36 different, and they're including layup lines in it. I just know, working in production, I know the Chico. Whenever I see a layup line move, unless he just like threw the leg doing something crazy, if he's just doing basic layup, like, oh, they're just trying to fill time because they don't have enough good highlights.
I just be like this, listen. All right, parents, listen. Save your money from highlights and put that in the actual trailer. How about that? You know, you're gonna pay $200, $100, $500 for a highlight. You might as well take that same money and put it for actual training so he can actually play basketball.
Gil, spitting facts. Gil, like KD said, you spitting, and you know what that means at least. But
yeah.
This has been another No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We appreciate y'all watching this Heat Check edition. We'll be back with more very soon.